Hot round! Red 7, red 7, red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the
ball? I'll get you the ball.
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water bad jacket. Yeah. It's a party. It's a party. It's a party.
Welcome into 11 Personnel. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett coming at you in the middle of a busy part of July on the heels of an eventful 4th of July weekend that will not go down in the history books as one of Kentucky's most successful football recruiting weekends. But as we're seeing today, the Cats, they are completely lost in the woods. So a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel during a kind of a crazy recruiting time.
Yeah, scrambling a little bit here, I think it's a fair term. I think last podcast we talked, it's been a little bit, we talked about where is Kentucky right now as a recruiting operation in the class of 2023. And we said pretty much behind, but there's time to make up. Took some hits this week, but they closed really well today, being Wednesday, July 6th. Avery Stewart just committed to Kentucky. Four-star defensive back. But not only four-star, Nick, like within that draft range. So within, you know, there's 262 picks in the NFL draft. He's within the 300 range. On three is a little bit higher on him than the rest of the industry. They have him kind of as a fringe top 150 prospect. But this is a huge win, right? I mean, this is a blue chip recruiting win in the SEC footprint, the traditional SEC footprint. We've seen Kentucky obviously recruit at home, obviously going to high Atlanta players, going to Detroit and have a lot of success, but it going down south and getting players has not been this type of caliber of player has not been very easy. But now it's 3 years in a row where they've gotten a player like this. Trevin Wallace, 2021. Last year, you go into Nashville, you get Keaton Wade, you get Berrien Brown, and then this year you're able to go into Montgomery, Alabama, Auburn's backyard. That area of Alabama is a place Florida State recruits a lot. Florida State really wanted this kid. You beat up Florida State for Avery Stewart, and he's coming in at a position of need. Cornerback, we all know about cornerback. We've talked about it 8 trillion times, what they need to get better. They need to get better at cornerback. This is how you get better. Mm-hmm. You go and you land players of this caliber. And so there's really a lot to be excited about, I think, with this commitment. We'll get into some other stuff that's going on, but this is a big one. Like on December, it wins / if he signs, it'll be one of the biggest talking points because of all those things, because of the caliber of player he is, because of the position he's at, and because of how big of a need they have on the roster right now for players at that position.
Well, and you, one of the guys too that was in a similar position last year, Jacoby Albert, you know, from Birmingham, who played defensive back. Frank Bufano was kind of in on him. It was mostly John Summerall, but I know Bufano really contributed there at the end. And you needed to see more from some of these other assistant coaches, especially a guy like Buff who'd been in that role now. I think this is going on year three, or is it year two?
That's right. I think it's year three. I think 2020 was his first year.
So to start seeing some results is important. And what Avery Stewart will be at Kentucky, the good news is he does have a little bit of wiggle room. You know, he lines up at a bunch of different positions at Alabama Christian Academy in Montgomery. He's got the size that Kentucky likes in a corner at 6'2", 175. But when he's playing safety, I mean, I just love guys that line up 10 yards off the ball and they don't backpedal when the ball is snapped. They stay put, they move forward, and they're not afraid to create contact in the box.
Similar mold to Alex Afari.
Yeah, I didn't want to put that out there, but you know, but that's exactly what I was thinking. Where it's like, okay, here's a long guy where you bring him in, you kind of see where he fits, where you need him, and you can do a lot with him. And also, Afari was around the same recruiting range, right? In the consensus rankings, yeah,
he was right around 250. I think he ended up like 252, 262, mm-hmm. something around there. They've only landed three secondary players of this caliber, this high ranking in the Stoops era. It's him and it's
Afari and Edwards.
Afari and Asian, this high. Mike was down towards 300, and Darius West was down right around that area with
him. Okay.
But in general, like, this is just – they don't get – and especially if this kid can be a true cornerback, they don't get true cornerbacks this highly rated. They just haven't in the decade of Mark Stoops.
Transfer portal with Boss Man, but that's about it.
Yeah. So that's the kind of talent I think you're getting here. Like, I think there's potential to play as a true freshman. I'm not start as a true freshman, but play. Mm-hmm. And potentially, you know, be a second-year starter for Kentucky at cornerback. I mean, there's a lot to like here. And we've broken it down in the film rooms up at KSR, the commitment posters up at KSR. Mm-hmm. But this is a huge, huge – it's a huge thing to recover from the Christian Conyer decision. And we can get a Conyer here in a minute, but I really do want to stress, like, Bufano doing this, it's a big damn deal. Like, to have him be able to go down there and recruit a player of this caliber, it's a big damn deal. We were wondering who is going to be the next guy to really kind of get these top-of-the-line players. You lost it with Klingscale, and so you're kind of losing that Michigan pipeline. Wolford was potentially a guy that could have done that for you. He's gone, and obviously Summerall's gone. So now you're wondering who the next guy can be to kind of recruit these caliber of players. And Bufano doing this, getting Avery Stewart and being able to close on him, it's a big deal.
Yeah, and especially for the timing, and narratives aren't everything in recruiting. It is about results.
Well, they are in July. I mean, it's just they drive talking points. So here for a month, you just got to survive that.
And especially when your rivals have done so well. Tennessee, Louisville, Tennessee gets an in-state guy from Kentucky. And I don't know how hard UK was pressing for Caleb Perry, but for the most part, Kentucky and Tennessee want kids from the state of Kentucky. They've all gone to Kentucky. And that changed when Christian Conyer announced his commitment. And I knew when that happened that it was going to turn into my radio show on Tuesday. I was like, gosh, this is going to be a big damn mess. But if you put the prospects on paper, Avery Stewart is a significantly better talent. Yes. And that's not sour grapes. I mean, it's just by any measure standard you want to use,
he's a better prospect. Yes.
Yeah. So, Kentucky got that win. And what I think is also significant too, like, it is there weren't people putting in predictions for Stewart until like July 4th. There was the On Three RPM had a Florida State lean there for a while. He's been pretty quiet in his recruitment. We hadn't heard much from him, just talking in general. So for Kentucky to things looked a little dim there, a little dismal after the 4th of July weekend. You pile up a couple of commitments, and then you've got a chance to get a few more on the horizon. And I'll just go ahead and list those off. Kendrick Gilbert is expected to announce his decision tomorrow. And I think the coaches are pretty confident Kentucky can land a commitment from the four-star defensive lineman from Indianapolis Cathedral. You've also got Kobe Keenum, one of the best centers in America, who essentially is down to Louisville in Kentucky. There's a lot of momentum for Kentucky. And that decision's happening Saturday. You got Anthony Brown next Saturday as well, a four-star receiver. That one looks like it's a Kentucky or Cincinnati battle. So after seemingly going 1-for-3. We can mention the other guys, but they kind of went 1-for-3 4th of July weekend. You can turn that around and go 3-0 or 4-0 and start piling up some wins.
Yeah, and now some nice head-to-head recruiting wins in that stretch as well. I do want to say this about Kobe Keenum. He seems to be a heavy Kentucky lean at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. So we are expecting on Saturday, July 9th, that he's probably going to flash the Elks down and wear a Kentucky cap.
Oh, that'd be great.
But I do want to say this. Like, Kobe Keenum's a 3-star recruit ranked in the 700s right now in the On3 consensus. But I have him, like, if I was ranking prospects, he would be up there with Shamar Porter and Avery Stewart as a prospect to me. Okay. I think this kid is, like, legitimate, real deal, good. Like, I can see this kid being a multi-year starter in the SEC and getting drafted.
Which is, like, the most – he fits the profile of a Kentucky offensive lineman, right. You know?
He's going to play center at Kentucky. Continue that strong, like, center lineage they have right now, right? You know, it's gone. They've had a lot of good centers roll through here. I think there's a lot to like about him. I think that's – and, it's easy for me to say this now, but I would have said the same thing if Louisville would have got him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big deal landing him. And for Zach Yenzer, another new coach, like, I think he's doing some really good things on the recruiting trail.
We haven't kept our thoughts organized, but that is a good – Yenzer was – he was the big guy driving the Khalifa Keith train, that 3-star running back committed on Monday. He had the most recent commitment before that in Austin Ramsey, and then now to be able to get Keenum over Louisville. That was going to be if Keenum doesn't pick Kentucky, which I'm feeling very confident about, but that was going to be a lot of people were up in arms over Neil, over Conyer. That was going to be mine because there's no justifiable reason an offensive line school like Kentucky should lose somebody they want to a program like Louisville, where their quarterback is their leading rusher because he's running for his life. There's just nothing. That would have been my, like, I've got to go on a nil rant for 2 days kind of thing. But hopefully we don't have to cross that bridge, because the nil takes, they're fast and furious, and not a lot of people, like, it's just unclear what the hell's going on over there. But I'm glad that we got an Avery Stewart announcement for Kentucky, because it settles the waters a little bit. And here's the thing too, like, you mentioned Yenzer and Buff closing. They did do a good job getting guys on campus. Now closing time. So pick up your
– This is where you make your money. This is from both sides now, all right? Closing time. Yeah, on the player side and the coach side. This is the separator. A lot of people get dudes on campus. It's, can you get the commitments? Can you get the signatures?
Mm-hmm.
So that was good to see. Another thing I do want to mention, Josh Edwards at 24/7 Sports had an interview with Keenum where he talked about, like, Drake Jackson and the relationship he had with Drake, like, got to know Drake on the visit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's big too. I think we all think Drake's got a pretty bright future in coaching.
Yeah.
That's an important cog, I think, to Kentucky operation there too on the offensive line. So shout out Drake Jackson for doing some good things here too. So center, and he's a center, selling center at the place he played.
Yeah. Kendrick Gilbert, if we're just rolling out forecasts, I don't have a good feel on him, but you mentioned Josh Edwards. He has a pick in. Maybe I should kick those Purdue tires, because Purdue seems like, they're in that school quite a bit. I believe David Bell was a Cathedral guy, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, so
he was either there or Warren Central. It was a school in Indy, though.
Yeah. And LSU, Brian Kelly was recruiting him at Notre Dame, and they stayed on him at LSU. So that could be another significant recruiting. Just from a tool standpoint, I really like Gilbert as that 5-tech and a 3-4, bigger body.
6'4", 6'5", has a reported 6'11 wingspan. So probably 260, 270. There's a lot from a trade standpoint, I think, to really like there.
Now to reverse, so if all that good news happens, then it does erase some of the bad news, because man, there for a little bit, Luckett, we were just, I felt like, not bad luck, Chuck, but the kind of, it was just one freaking hit after another. I mean, you have Conyer, where that one, I mean, folks at Kentucky were confident after his official visit that that commitment was going to happen, that he was going to pick Kentucky. And even when things flipped back and forth, they still remain confident. And then to peel back the curtain a little bit, we're doing a kitchen remodel. So it's 4th of July weekend. They got all the deals. You got to go to Lowe's. You got to get – I was at Lowe's for 2.5 hours. And about halfway through, it's like, all right, well, I guess I'm not going to be home for this commitment. I'm going to – but I got to be on my phone. I want to see what the hell's going on. And we have the notification set up, or at least I did on my phone. And Christian Conyer's tweeting at Vince Merrill 5 minutes before he's supposed to go live. Weird tweet. And it's like, well, Vince had said something along the lines of, about to go to my daughter's wedding, going to be the best day of my life. And he just tweeted, okay. And it was like a video of people partying. And I didn't know if that was, I thought it was good news. Like, it, why else would he be tweeting Vince Merrill before his decision about partying? It's still, I you don't know what a 17-year-old kid means. It did not mean that. It did not mean that at all. And he ends up picking Tennessee instead. That was a
believe it was a quote unquote ghost tweet. I think that's what he said. You didn't see what Conyer?
No. Said? What's a ghost tweet?
I'm guessing it's like a, you know, an accident. Like he accidentally hit sent on something. Maybe I don't know.
Oh no, that's, dude, just own up to it, man. You were talking shit. Like that's exactly what you were doing, Christian Conyer. Because I believe Vince got told, like, he fired that tweet off right before Conyer told him that it was going to be Tennessee or something along those lines. So I think Vince was trying to get out ahead of it.
Yeah, or deflect.
Yeah, and then Conyer was just like, okay, sure, and was just throwing a jab back. Either way, freaking recruiting, it's a hilarious game we play. It doesn't get much more ridiculous than that.
Yeah, here's what he said. This was actually to our guy Troy Howell, because Troy Howell replied and was like, or quote tweeted it, because Conyer has now deleted that tweet. Troy, much like me, was like, since I am too old to understand kids sometimes, can someone in high school let me know what this means? Thinking maybe that specific GIF or whatever it was had a meaning, I guess.
Which, yeah, it could totally be a meme thing that we just don't know about. Some video that's popular.
Yeah, it's not some on TikTok. But it said, this has no meaning, exclamation point. It was accidental ghost message, exclamation point. That's it, 3 exclamation points. Terrible timing, exclamation point. Nothing but respect for Coach Merrill and the entire staff, exclamation point, 100 emoji, 100 emoji. So I don't know. that was a new one for me. Oh, and
I love the exclamation points too. Just really driving it home.
But anyway, like we talked about this. Conyer, for whatever reason, he felt like a Tennessee lean for a long time. I thought the signs were there. I'd heard that Kentucky closed really strong, so I put in a pick for Kentucky because of that. But apparently it was just the lord of Tennessee was too much. I think he had people in his close circle probably pulling him more towards Tennessee. And so that's where he ends up. But at the end of the day, like we talked about on a few podcast episodes, this is a 3-star cornerback. Like you want to keep him because it's Kentucky versus Tennessee for an in-state prospect. But you're going to be able to find other options on the recruiting trail if you miss on this kid. And so who knows? You know, there's an NIL scuttlebutt going on around the football program right now. Do they have money? Do they not have money?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that opened up some cap space, Nick.
Yeah.
And then maybe it allowed you to close harder on Avery Stewart, which in the long run, it's probably going to be bet on that being a bigger win. Yes. So long run, it could help things. But I do think, like, they're behind, and I don't think NIL is the only reason why. I think it's probably part of the issue. But, you know, you look at where they were in past classes to where they are now, it's not where they were. But the Stewart, Avery Stewart news could be a good jump in the right direction. They still got a lot of work to do. If they get Keenum, their average star rating is going to be 86.81 for the consensus. That's typically a 35 to 40 class is where you would fall at the end if you're in that range.
Which is about average.
But it's not 2017 anymore. Like, their expectations should be higher now, I think. I don't think it's – like, they need to be shooting for top 30 or right at that. So that's right. That's a step in the right direction, but there's still a lot of work to go.
Yeah, yeah. No, I see what you're saying. They're on the fringe of where they want to be, and it just depends, I think, in part, how big they want the class to be, and are they able to get some of the big guys down the – like getting an Arvell Reese – or a Grant Godfrey, you know, like
Neil Avery.
Yeah, like those are big ones down the stretch that can bump you up even further. And, you know, you can also hit the transfer portal for a lot of stuff to at least as far as your additions go later on down the stretch. But at least getting, you know, starting to pile up some wins down, it just feel nice. It feel real nice. But especially because after Conyer wasn't the only one. We had a couple surprise decisions. Carmelo English, he canceled his July 2nd decision date.
Yeah, that was odd.
We're like, oh, this is great. He's pushing it back. Gives Kentucky a little bit more time. I don't know if that was Michigan, if that was Kentucky. But, hey, he got a little extra rope. And then, seemingly out of nowhere, he commits on July 4th to Auburn. That was something else.
Just I think keep him warm. I mean, that's all you can really do with him right now.
Right, right. And then you add into there, too, Jaden Robinson. We thought he was a South Carolina lean, and then he inexplicably popped out of nowhere July 4th, too. So you had two surprise four-star guys that you officially visited. You were considered, I think, in all of those, in the three losses, you were second place in all of them. And
reading tea leaves on those two, that smells like both those schools push for commitments.
Yeah.
We're just you need to commit here. We need you to be locked in. If you're not locked in, we may have to look at other options. So we need to know if you're riding with us or not.
Especially with English.
That's what both of those seem like to me. Because Jaden Robinson was talking about how, you know, his recruitment wasn't over. He still wanted to go see Michigan in September for another OB, and then he was going to make a decision after that. That was his plan, to make a decision late September, early October, and then out of nowhere he commits on 4th of July. Carmelo English cancels his announcement, says he needs more time. What, he just need 48 hours? So that's just what that smells like. I haven't seen any reporting on that or anything, but that's just what that kind of seems like on both cases.
That seems more logical than the Auburn Live report we had, that July 4th, 2nd wasn't the date, but July 4th was. It's like, no, that's nothing there. But
So I don't think Robinson will be ultimately in Kentucky's class. I think they have a lot of options at linebacker. Nothing against Jaden Robinson, but they got like four or five guys that are around the same caliber. When you look at like a Stanquan Clark, an Arvell Reese, a Marcellus Pulliam, and a Grant Godfrey. I mean, they got a lot of guys there that could play off-ball linebacker that they're in on. So they're going to get one or two there and feel pretty good about it. So they're still in a good spot there. But English is still a big fish, I think, for them, because he's the best, I think, slot receiver they're in on. So they're going to want to push for him, I think, coming down the stretch.
I'm with you. We need to also touch on the guy who did commit on 4th of July, Khalifa Keith, three-star running back from – I don't know why I keep saying Georgia. I guess because he got the Georgia Tech offer. I don't know why that's in my brain.
They're building a little Alabama pipeline here, man.
Yeah, yeah. But his tape, he was another one. Florida State had an offer out. Georgia Tech did. Played running back / linebacker, which is a very rare. I think even on three initially had him rated as a linebacker. That's a very rare combo, but that dude's got freaking tree trunks for legs. I mean, built to run between the trenches. You're getting ready to lose Chris Rodriguez. Rodriguez and Benny Snell each had similar recruiting ranks, each had similar profiles, if you will. It's like, here's a big guy. He runs well. We don't know how well that translates to the SEC. And then the culture, the scheme, everything, the stars aligned perfectly at Kentucky. Maybe Lightning strikes a third time with Khalifa Keith.
Yeah, I think this guy's actually – but the one difference is this guy's kind of – he's bigger than both of them. Like, he's listed at 6'1", 6'2". Both C-Rod and Benny were under 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
And I think – I really do think Keith could get – I mean, he's probably going to play 235 at Kentucky. That's a grown-ass man right there, okay? But – like, running backs are running backs, right? Like, all these guys that you're recruiting at this level, they should all be putting up numbers and tape.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of – you got to know, like, it really comes down to what you look for and what you value in a running back. But with Keith, I thought he showed some interesting wiggle movement ability as a bigger back. He's making guys kind of miss and slide in a hole. He's got good vision. And he's I caught him intriguing. I mean, I could see him really turning into something. But I think it's interesting, you know, doing a 1-2 punch here with him and Caden Mormon. Caden Mormon's another bigger back. He's probably going to play at 215, 220 at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there's a thought process because of how they struggled last year, specifically with Rodriguez, that maybe you need a slider build. More slasher types of running backs, some would call all-purpose to run this, and I don't think you do. I think you can run this what you want to run with big backs. You just have to have a specific skill set to do it.
I think you also need a running back who can see it. This kid's got good vision.
Yeah.
Like his first two runs, it's a going outside, cut back, make two guys miss, and then go downfield.
Yeah, and obviously I think they've made a concerted effort to add speed, specifically at receiver. But at the same time, they still want to be big and physical. And you're seeing that with some of the offensive line targets and then some of these running back targets. Like, there's still going to be jam it down your throat aspect to this offense, even with Rich Gangarello coming on. So I just thought that was interesting that these are the two backs they're riding with. And I don't think it's a bad strategy, personally, especially if you're planning on having a passing offense that can provide explosives, talk about all the time, then you can get your efficiency from the running game. Best way to do that is get some of these big backs who can fall forward and keep you ahead of the chains.
You mentioned C-Rod. This week, too, we had his legal case reach a resolution where he did accept the plea deal for DUI. I don't have the specifics pulled up in front of me, but it involves a fine, suspended license for 4 to 6 months. And I think he's going to do an alcohol class. But that at least has put an end to that aspect of things. The other stuff, we don't know. But we do know that SEC Media Days is coming up. And that's going to be the first question Mark Stoops has asked.
Well, I mean, it's July 6th. The season is almost less. It's like 60 days away now.
59 days away, to be precise. 59
days away. I think it's pretty obvious they're planning on him playing this year.
Yeah, it's just a matter of how much.
There's probably going to be a suspension, and where does it come? But, we'll see. I mean, that's really going to be the next news just down there in Atlanta, whatever Stoops says about it.
Which brings us to some other news. But, actually, we need to take a break, and I need to inform you there's some breaking news. Baker Mayfield getting traded to the Panthers.
I like it.
For a conditional fifth-round pick. Interesting. Interesting.
The QB dominoes have been interesting this offseason, both NFL and college.
Yeah, I'm happy for Baker. That Brown situation, what a damn mess. They are such a mess.
I'm trying to think what their receiver corps is there in Carolina.
Oh, it's not good.
Now they got they still have DJ Moore.
I think they got rid of him this year.
Let's see, no, he's still there. They got DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. I like Terrace Marshall, Tommy Trimble. That Notre Dame guys are tight end.
Robinson had already, or Robbie Anderson had already tweeted, not tweeted, but commented on an Instagram post like, no, which I think Baker Mayfield, he gets way too much crap. I mean, he was a part of a playoff win for the Cleveland Browns. Like,
they kind of rebuilt their offensive line here. Yeah, but now I'm seeing Ben McAdoo's offensive coordinator now there, or there now. The old, you remember that old guy, the Giants, who had the Cheesecake Factory menu? I don't know if you remember him, Nick. He just got fired by the Giants not too long ago, and he's kind of a running joke.
Oh.
So that might not be good.
Well, we got plenty of them.
Yeah. So, yeah, good for Baker. Get to see my thing is, if you're one of the top 32 QBs in the NFL, I would like to see you starting games for a team, so to make my Sundays more enjoyable. So I'm all for that.
Yes, I'm all for it. Speaking of Bakers, we got a little baby Baker coming. How are we feeling in the home stretch? It could be any day now. Are we nervous?
I wouldn't say nervous. It's more just like surreal. Like, oh, my wife's 9 months pregnant. Taylor's 9 months pregnant. Oh, wow. Like, we're going to – any, like, day now we could grab that hospital bag and head to the – where the babies are made. So, yeah, it's really – I think we're more – like, obviously when you get in it, it's probably going to be a little nerve-wracking. But I think we're both ready just for it to be here.
Oh, the final – I know what you mean, where there is some nervous excitement to it. To draw a comparison that I'm sure all the women listening are very happy. It really is just kind of the start of the football season kind of deal where you're like, I don't know what I don't.
Yeah, I already got my fill still here, so I'm ready to go.
But it is one of those things where you spend all this time preparing, but
yes,
you don't really know until you know, and you actually get to experience it. I mean, the comparisons I don't think are that bad, but you have a generally a good idea, and then you get into playing the game, and it's a whole different ball game. But you know what? You'll swim. You'll be doing just fine here before you know it.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine. But yeah, it's we're in the land of the unknown, right?
You don't
like they tell us what's going to happen, but you don't really know until you know. So that's where we're all right now.
Well, I've got my Phil still just in case too. So, or at least I ordered it. It's on the way. Phil, we got to cut down on shipping, man. Shipping costs half the magazine.
2 weeks for media days?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Freddie and I'll be down there for that. It'll be exciting. And that does get us to our programming, Lord, where there will be plenty of podcasts down at SEC Media Days, but luck, it's going to be juggling dad duties. So we'll have plenty of Kentucky football content, but taking maybe a little hiatus off this feed. So there's plenty of KSR podcasts out there. Check the KentuckySportsRadio.com, and you'll keep that updated throughout the week. But we're going to take a brief break, come back, talk about the latest in the running back room, and much more. Lucky, we were talking earlier about Chris Rodriguez. What does it mean? Well, Ramon Jefferson, the FCS All-American from Sam Houston State, he revealed that he's going to use his final year of eligibility at the University of Kentucky. I think that got some folks worried about Chris's fate and what that might be, how long he might be out. I've got no indication from that side that people are worried. And mostly, if it's going to hurt anybody, I feel like it's going to hurt Smoke, right? Like this dude – he's a pretty, I don't want to say boom or bust, but he's a big play back. And I would think he would take some carries from Mr. Kavassier Smoke.
Yeah.
Mike Dernan too, you know, both those guys.
I would assume, right. It's the ultimate like Chris Rodriguez insurance in case maybe he's out for 2 games, maybe he's out for 6 games.
Yeah.
So that you go ahead and grab this guy, super senior. He's been all over the place.
Play with Cohen.
Yeah, one year under Cohen at Maine, went to junior college, Sam Houston State, won a national championship, played in a lot of big games at Sam Houston State. Last year, he had an elite PFF grade in the 90s, which is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
He was efficient and explosive as a runner. He's never really been injured. He's produced every season. I mean, his career average is right at 6 yards per carry. Obviously, It's lower level.
Right.
Right. But there's, I think there's a lot to like here with him as being a pretty high floor type player for you.
He ran all of that outside zone stuff too.
He ran some outside zone stuff at Sam Houston. Yeah. They're just, I think there's a lot to like with him. It makes sense. It's just interesting when you look at like the scholarship distribution at running back.
Mm-hmm. They got a lot of them.
We talked about that. They've added two, but they kind of needed that because they're going to lose Jefferson, probably C-Rod and Smoke this year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like if Drennan doesn't play this year, Nick, that feels like a potential transfer candidate. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see there. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like – and then they go that same day. We find out they add Tennessee transfer D. Beckwith, who's also kind of a jumbo athlete who I think is going to be kind of in the running back room. So they got eight scholarship players.
There. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be interesting.
He was listed at running back. And when you first saw that, you're like, what the hell? But he's not lining up and taking handoffs. I mean, if he is, it's as a fullback. He's not
playing tailback.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. If it is, he's a fullback. He's an H-back. And this one feels like more of a long-term solution where you'll use Justice Dingle and tight ends this year. While he figures things out, and then he's your guy next year. That's what it at least feels like to me, because he's played in 2 years at Tennessee. He played multiple spots and never really found a home. They can give him a home here, but how quick will he take on to it? I don't know. But I will say, just his accolades in general, the numbers he put up at Florence High School in Alabama were insane as a high school senior. He was just a four-star. I mean, he played quarterback, running back, he caught passes. I mean, dude is an absolute athlete. It's just trying to find the right spot for him to thrive. And if anybody can do it, I'm confident that Rich Scangarello in this kind of hybrid fullback tight end role, whatever you want to call it, can be a nice spot for D back with.
Yeah. I think it's pretty clear though that we're going to see a lot of two back formations. Like you're going to see 21 personnel, you're going to see 22 personnel, and then 12. I think what this may be. Like, they had to play Isaiah Cummings a lot at H-back last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he did some things. Obviously, like, the run in South Carolina, the touchdown run, everybody knows that.
That was awesome.
He helped spring a run. But Chris Rodriguez's biggest run against Louisville, I threw that in the post when I kind of broke down where D. Beckwith might play. So he did a lot of stuff for them. Maybe this – they don't need him to do that stuff now that they got Dingle and Beckwith. But I think overall it's just a philosophy that they're going to do a lot of, like, kind of – two back stuff. And then they're going to, you know, they're hoping this wrinkle will maybe give some defenses problems, because defense in the SEC don't see a lot of this stuff.
No,
going to run. And then also when the play action game, I think they think probably they're going to be able to sneak their guys out here and create some wide open situations.
A little throwback action.
Yeah. So it's just going to be, I'm just very interested to see how it all plays out. Cause really like what his position is going to be, kind of that somewhere in the middle of being that H-back / fullback, right? Something like that. It also makes you think, like, if Khalifa Keith got too big, because I mentioned I think he's going to be pretty big.
Yeah, he could do that too. Yeah.
They maybe slide him to there. And so it's going to be very, very, very fascinating, I think, to see how this plays out with Scangarello over time. But, like, for him to stick here, you'd have to keep him for a while.
Yeah.
Rich, right? So.
Well, Stoop said it's a two-year plan.
Yeah, so let's see how this all plays out.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect segue. Lucky, you're the king of segues today. Let's see how this all plays out. Let's spin the conference realignment wheel. Bzzz. I mean, just when we thought we knew there was going to be another big move at some point, but UCLA and USC to the Big Ten didn't. I don't know about you, like, it didn't see that one being the first or the next big step, bringing the Los Angeles schools from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. But the top two are distancing themselves from the rest of the pack. And now everybody else is playing catch up. And yesterday, so this would be Tuesday night, our guy Dennis Dodd, who just objective journalist through and through, never carried water for anybody who's ever given him scoop, he said that they're, the Big 12 was in, quote, deep discussions, which I don't know.
Like a Watergate type scoop.
What differentiates deep discussions versus regular discussions? I don't know. Whenever I have a conversations with somebody, I don't say I'm having a, I guess a deep conversation would be an intimate one, but you probably wouldn't have an intimate conversation with somebody when talking realignment. Either heart way, to heart. Either way, what's weird about, so Dodd reported the Big 12 is wanting to be the aggressor to get the Arizona schools, Utah and Colorado, give themselves 16 to try to compete in numbers with the other two. They may not have the same prestige, but they would have the numbers, which would make sense. But why I don't buy it either is that anytime there's been a legit big move in the latest realignment, the move is said and done. You know, like they've already announced everything by the time, you know, that this is comes and goes.
Yes.
The Texas and Oklahoma thing happened on Wednesday at SEC Media Days, and it was finalized by Thursday. Same thing happened with USC, UCLA. So while there's going to be some fun, crazy stuff in this next round of conference realignment, I'm not as confident that the Big 12 is just going to raid the Pac-12 to make all this happen.
My big take here is just we just got to wait and see how this plays out. Because everybody wants to come up with the takes, wants to guess what's next and all that. And really it doesn't matter unless the ACC and Pac-12 do something stupid, which is very possible in the stage we're in. But really what
everybody's Lions waiting, part two.
Well, that's what's coming. What everyone's waiting on is Notre Dame and see what they do. But, like, the ACC has this grant of rights. These teams cannot get out of this grant of rights. I mean, they're locked into 2036 unless someone leaves or unless something big happens. I mean, they're pretty much they're kind of screwed, for lack of a better term, those ACC teams. So they couldn't even move if they wanted to, at least right now. I mean, we'll see what happens. Now, if Notre Dame moved, maybe that thing could fall apart. And then – the Big 12 has a chance to play offense here, and they've never really had a chance to play offense in realignment. It's always been 10 years ago, it was keeping Texas and Oklahoma away from the Pac-12. 10 years later, it's Texas, Oklahoma leave. It's finding replacements for them, making sure they don't dissolve. And now they have a chance. Like, I think it makes sense to add the Arizona schools, Utah, and Colorado. Like, you could have four sensible divisions in your conference. All those schools are about the same, and it can make for a fun concept. And if you could get ESPN to get in on it, you can maybe – you're not going to make the money as the big guys, but you could be the legitimate number three and be best suited to hang around in college football.
You can be the American of the current Power Five.
Yes.
Where you're not all the way on the outs, kind of, but you're close.
And you're probably gonna have a legit chance at making the playoff consistently, especially if it expands.
Yeah, my big takeaway from USC and UCLA, what makes me happy is I just want the Pac-12 to be ripped to shreds. Not because it's mostly just because of the Rose Bowl. Whoops, the Rose Bowl is what's holding up playoff expansion, and the quicker we get that stupid thing not stuck on New Year's Day. I love the Rose Bowl. It's great being that day. But the college football playoff needs to be played on New Year's Day. And they can't move forward without expansion while everyone is clinging onto that game. It's that holier-than-thou mentality. It just drives me nuts. But what I think is fascinating, Luckett, is that their unwillingness to work with the SEC on expanding that playoff, that might have been the domino that set all this in motion. Now, maybe it could have held things off. It might have just held things off for another year or two. But the college football playoff expansion talks falling apart, I really feel like we're at the crux of this latest realignment shift.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of issues. Like, Pac-12 has definitely been hesitant to put football first in some of their decisions. I think that's ultimately, along with that and Larry Scott starting a network without a TV sponsor or TV partner, is really why they're dying. I mean, yeah. It's just, but the thirst for it is not, it's just not like it is in the southeastern portion of the state or in Big Ten country. It's just the thirst for college football is not like it is.
My parents are going out west next week, and when they go to a bar, the TV's not guaranteed to be on sports. It's just that's not how they operate out there.
Yeah, it's just different. Just different. And so then you get into a weird spot, like could Cal and Stanford not have a home? You know, that could be weird. Like you would feel bad, like Washington State, Oregon State. But then there's also the aspect that some of these states are going to the legislature is going to get in the way and not let them leave. I mean, you got that to deal with. It's still a long way to go. It feels like if Notre Dame just says, nah, we're good.
Like, might stay put for a bit.
Yeah, we're just going to have this for 3, 4, 5 years. And then when the playoff push comes to shove, then maybe if you had to force Notre Dame to join one, then that's when things would get crazy. But that's really what the Big Ten TV deal was supposed to be announced around Memorial Day weekend. It's gotten moved back, but they're signing a big deal with Fox. I mean, that's kind of the rumor. It's going to be all Fox, like Fox, FS1, along with the Big Ten Network. They're going to have every Big Ten game. The reason they added USC, UCLA is because that's what Fox wanted. And then ESPN obviously has all the SEC games moving forward. So you got those two powers kind of butting heads. The only one who has any more room is really ESPN because they got every channel to fill. You got the Plus. Mm-hmm. Plus there are three channels, and they already own the ACC network. So that's why you're hearing the stuff about an ACC and Pac-12 potential merger. Is Pac-12 can get on the ESPN. They can maybe find something there. It's all just going to be how this all plays out. We're just going to have to wait and see. I don't like – there's a lot of – like the popular take is like it's going to ruin college football. And I do think for some fan bases it's going to be tough. Because I think what you're going to have is like a school like Louisville potentially, a school like Iowa State, Oregon State. Like they're probably going to have to be independents and just play the other independents. I still think these big two conferences are going to play non-conference games. Maybe you could play a couple of those, and then you're just going to have to, you know, figure it out. But it's just going to be different. But it's still going to be it's still going to be college football at the end of the day. But it's going to be a different college football than you grew up on.
Right, which is going to be inevitable no matter what.
Yeah.
It's digging your heels in on change is tough, especially if you are a Louisville fan who you finally felt like you got in that big conference. And then ever since then, you've been 500. You can't win your own conference basketball tournament.
Yeah. The next 3, 4, 5 years, I think, are just going to be odd. Everybody looking over their shoulder who's not in the big leagues.
If you could pick four to go to the SEC though quickly, who you taking?
Just from because you really have to ask yourself like who would ESPN want, because that's who's making this decision.
Mm-hmm.
So what like market or state would they want to get into?
I think North Carolina is an obvious answer because they have the networks in Charlotte. They don't have any. It just makes too much sense. So I feel like. Right. You have to do North Carolina, but do you do Duke too? Do you bring that basketball rivalry?
Well, wouldn't Virginia make sense? You can get in the DC market.
Yeah. Hmm.
Or what, you know, do you care to do you care at all about because what matters more, markets or brands? That's what I keep going back on. I would think the brands, like the helmets, who's staying to watch a game to watch a helmet more matters more than breaking into the DC market. But I don't know. So it's like from a brand standpoint, like it makes pretty obvious sense. Like Clemson, Florida State, Miami. Mm-hmm. I mean those, and then you can just add, you know, whoever, North Carolina or West Virginia or whoever you want. But from that aspect, that would like if you're talking about people watching games, that'll get more eyeballs than anything else.
True. Yeah, I feel like Virginia Tech presents a fun wrinkle.
Well, I want that for the road trip. Yeah. For me, let's get Virginia Tech in here. So I go to Blacksburg.
Yeah. Well, and that fan base, that, you know, that feels like an SEC kind of fan base. So,
I think that's why West Virginia, like culturally, I think they would fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Louisville. Clemson's Auburn with a lake. I mean, that makes like 110% like sense. That makes so much. It makes so much sense.
Well, and honestly, a Virginia Tech makes more sense to me than a Florida State. That Doak Campbell, that place is empty. You know, I know they've got the national championship without with Jimbo, but
yeah, but they, you got to think
aside that, from that Bobby move, Bowden,
that move would probably rejuvenate that fan base a little bit. I think it would be kind of similar to A&M. Maybe it could be. Maybe it's just the bump they need to get things going.
Yeah. Well, Luckett, you've got to get out of here, but I've enjoyed jamming a lot of our midsummer news on the podcast. Best of luck in the delivery room. It's going to be a lot of fun. Pack some PB&Js. You're going to need it. And your Phil Steel. You can't leave that thing at home. You got to have a lot of time.
It's already going in the bag. No doubt.
All right, Luckett. Well, take it easy. And for everybody else, go Cats and go Kroger.